You are listening to a Commonwealth Bank of Australia Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. This podcast provides general market-related information and is not intended to be an investment research report. The information contained in this podcast is based on previously published material, and before listening, you're advised to read the full Global Economic and Markets Research disclaimers, which can be found at combankresearch.com.au.
Welcome to the CommBank Global Economic and Markets Research Podcast. My name is Belinda Allen and I'm a Senior Economist here at CommBank, and today I'm joined by Gareth Aird, our Head of Australian Economics. Gareth, great to have you on.
It's nice to have a chat again, Belinda.
It is. Now we're going to talk about forecasting today, in particular what our outlook is for the Australian economy. And I think this really highlights the challenge that we've seen forecasting is in the COVID-19 pandemic. And now there are two key trends that have seen us rethink our GDP profile here in Australia. Where have the numbers landed after you've re-looked at two crucial bits of information?
Yeah, look, that's right. We're trying to be pretty agile with our forecasting at the moment. So we're trying to respond with our profile when the evidence suggests that it's timely to do so. And look, for a while, we've been in the view that the September quarter would probably come out flat from a GDP perspective. That view was really based on the idea that the contraction in output down in Victoria would be sufficient in size to basically offset growth in the rest of the country. But as it turns out, we think the evidence is in that the economy has expanded over the September quarter. So we've still got a few more weeks to go left in September, but a couple of key things that suggest to us that output has actually risen and risen in a material sense, is what we're seeing in terms of our card spend. So that's the credit and debit card spend that we've been reporting on right through the pandemic period. It's giving us a very timely insight into consumer spending. And if we average out card spend over Q3, and we look at the annual change there and compare it to what we saw in the June quarter, then on our card spend, then household consumption has risen quite a bit over the September quarter. And the other crucial piece of evidence, which we really wanted to see a second piece of evidence, if you like, before altering our view, was around hours worked in the labour force survey last week. So we got the official August employment report, and that showed that hours worked in August increased by 0.1%, having risen the previous couple of months. So put those two pieces of evidence together, and we have upwardly revised Q3 GDP to look for a 2% increase. And we've also made a few other tweaks to the profile more broadly.
Now, that plus 2% in Q3 obviously comes off an enormous minus 7% contraction over the second quarter. I think what has surprised all of us is how the rest of the Australian economy has tracked in the third quarter. So if we look at our CBA credit and debit card spend, Victoria has definitely seen a fall in spending, and they're obviously the only state really negative territory at the moment. When you kind of go through the CBA credit and debit card spend in more detail, what was really the major thing that led you to use that as a crucial piece of evidence in changing the GDP profile?
Yeah, look, so we're looking at a from a forecasting perspective, we're very much interested in the national outcomes. But then our data, we can cut it up a variety of ways. And I guess the things that really stand out to us are that spending has come off in Victoria, but not to the extent that we thought given a stage four lockdown. In fact, in through the year terms, it actually troughed at a lower level during the stage three lockdown back in April. And then secondly, growth in card expenditure in some of the other states, particularly in Western Australia and Queensland, has been very, very strong. And we've seen that come out in the official retail trade figures too. I mean, the retail trade figures for July showed a big lift in spending nationally, but in particular in Western Australia and Queensland, which it supports our view that most of the contraction we're seeing in households' expenditure is not because households don't want to spend, it's just that they can't. And on some of the goods and services that they can still spend their money on, particularly on the goods side, we're seeing some pretty strong outcomes. So all of that packaged together means household expenditure in the national accounts should pick up quite a bit. I mean, it did fall a massive amount in the June quarter, down about 12%. But We think on our figuring, it could bounce around 5% in Q3, and that coupled with the dynamics in the labour market warrants, in our view, a clear upward revision to GDP.
Yeah, when you look at the categories in that CBA card spend data, certainly the categories that continue to record very soft results, particularly around recreation spending, transport spending, are really on the areas that you cannot spend money on at the moment, which draws into your view about how a lot of the restrictions are causing people not to spend rather than a lack of want to spend as well. Now, turning to the employment numbers and the August labour market report we got out last week was certainly a very big surprise. We saw a big gain in employment, plus 111,000. The unemployment rate fell, but that's not actually what you're looking at in terms of driving the GDP profile. You've been very much more focused on the hours worked measure. So how is that influencing the view on economic activity at the moment?
That's right. I mean, normally you've got a pretty tight correlation between hours worked and employment, but given we've got JobKeeper in play at the moment, it's causing that relationship to kind of break down. And that's particularly the case in Victoria, where a lot of people will have retained their jobs over the period of the lockdown. So they'll still be considered employed. They'll be sitting at home on JobKeeper, but they're not actually working any hours. So when we're thinking about the economy from a production perspective, we're very much interested in hours worked, given that one of the key factors of production is labour. So we were surprised in the labour force survey last week that nationally hours worked actually increased by 0.1% over August. Now, it is a pretty volatile series, to be fair, but what the ABS told us was that hours worked was down by 4.8% in Victoria, but in the rest of the country, hours worked was up a really healthy 1.8%, and that really surprised us, and it's definitely encouraging news. So if we look then at the change in hours worked of what we know so far in Q3 and we compare it to what happened in Q2, then it points to a step up in hours worked of getting up near 4%. So that's going to have a clear positive impact on production. GDP won't rise by as much as that, given what we saw in the June quarter was the hours worked fell by more than production. That's primarily because there was a disproportionate number of people impacted in the more labour-intensive services part of the economy. So you get basically a smaller contraction in GDP relative to hours work, and then the reverse will happen in the September quarter. So look, from where we stand now, things are better than what we thought sort of 4 or 6 weeks ago. We just wanted to wait a little bit to make sure the evidence was there before changing our figures. But I guess if we think even further from here, Victoria's still got to come out of lockdown, which means that we should see a further step up in both consumption and hours worked as we head into the back end of the year.
And there are still some trends that will mean that the economy does not fully return to its pre-COVID level for quite some time. And I think about the border closures, lower population growth, behavioural changes about how consumers will spend money and travel as a result of COVID-19 and also withdrawal of government stimulus. It's still a fair while before the economy recoups the lost output due to COVID, isn't it?
Very much so. So I suppose, I've painted a relatively positive picture to date, and that is really positive relative to, I think, where the consensus still is, which is looking for a more muted rebound in the economy over the second half of this year, and also where we were sitting.
Where we've been as well.
That's right, not too long ago. I think it's fair to say that the second lockdown in Victoria definitely made forecasters out there pretty anxious about how the second half of the year would go. But as we're getting data now that's telling us how things are actually going, it's not quite as bad as we thought, and that then points to a lift in activity. And we should see that filter through, as I said, in the fourth quarter as well, because restrictions will eventually be eased in Victoria. Hopefully with the domestic borders reopen, there's a bit more economic activity between states, which would also support the economy. But when we get into next year, given we're already expecting to see that kind of first kick up, if you like, in the economy over the second half of this year, it does then make it harder in 2021 to get strong growth figures. And we think, as you mentioned, there'll be quite a few headwinds that'll be with us regardless of whether or not we have another lockdown. I mean, it still looks like the international borders will be closed for an extended period of time. And I think that net overseas migration will be lower. It will take a while to come back, and that means we've got lower residential construction. And there's a few other things. So not least as well the fact that government support will be tapered probably early next year. So you put all that together and still going to be a long, long way back to the economy to get to full employment, which is really where we want to be. But I think when we look back at 2020, it won't end up being anywhere near as dire from an output perspective as what we kind of thought. And what I suppose some people still think, given the various lockdowns and whatnot that we've had today.
So we get the federal budget in 2 weeks on the 6th of October. We'll obviously get updated economic forecasts within that document as well, which we will pore over in due course. But how are our latest forecasts in particular compared to the RBA forecasts? And these were last updated in the August Statement on Monetary Policy.
Yeah, that's right. So they're quite a bit more optimistic than those forecasts in the Reserve Bank Statement of Monetary Policy. Many regular kind of listeners and readers will probably recall that not too long ago we had a pretty similar profile to the Reserve Bank, both on a growth profile and also in terms of the labour market. So the fact we've then upgraded our GDP view, which has implications for our forecasts around our employment, that means we now have a set of forecasts which are quite a bit more optimistic than the RBA. But it's probably worth bearing in mind that the RBA doesn't have the opportunity to revise their forecasts as often as we do. They tend to just put them out every quarter. And, you know, things are very fluid at the moment. And we're finding out a lot of pieces of economic information that we just didn't know how they'd play out during that quarter. So, you know, it wouldn't surprise us if the RBA does end up revising their growth profile for this year by the time we get to the November Statement of Monetary Policy, just based on the evidence that we're seeing. But look, certainly where we sit today, we've got a much stronger back end to 2020 in our profile. That means the unemployment rate is going to land quite a bit lower than where the RBA is forecasting. But look, that's okay. It's probably worth pointing out that back in May, when the RBA put out their Statement of Monetary Policy, they thought that hours worked would contract by 20% over the June quarter, and they had the unemployment rate peaking at 10% in that quarter. And you know, history shows that hours worked fell about half that, and the unemployment rate has got nowhere near 10% over that period of time. So it just highlights how uncertain everything is. As I said, we've got the luxury here at the bank to update our forecast whenever we think that they warrant a revision. And certainly those pieces of economic information that we've had out quite recently, which are good news, I should add, that to us means that it's worth now upgrading our profile for the GDP and employment.
And it certainly does show the benefit of all the high-frequency data that we are now collecting, both here at CommBank, but also through the Australian Bureau of Statistics as well. And that's been very helpful in terms of getting a much better up-to-date view on where the economy is trending. Now, Gareth, I have no doubt we'll talk again soon, given we're just 2 weeks out from the federal budget and we're hearing from the Reserve Bank a little bit more frequently over the next few weeks. But in the meantime, appreciate your insights as always.
Thanks again for the chat, Linda.
Thanks. Now, where CBA data is cited, this refers to the bank proprietary data. As the statistics take into account only the bank's data, it may not reflect all trends in the market. All customer data used or represented is anonymised and aggregated before analysis and is used and disclosed in accordance with the group's privacy policy statement. Now, the report that Gareth has just talked through in terms of our change in GDP forecast was published on the 21st of September and can be found on combankresearch.com.au.